that our steps are so constituted in groups so that the first three steps relieve the acute problem of the alcoholism. The first three steps are the emergency room. That's when you come in here and see that you are powerless over alcohol after a while. Come to believe that there's hope and help here for you. You make a decision to stay here and follow the instructions. Those three things will stop you from drinking. But Alcoholics Anonymous understands, and I came to understand, that there is more to it, much more to it than that. That underlying the drinking problem is another problem, or a series of problems. And the first problem, of course, is me. And I couldn't understand what there was about me that compelled me to drink until I took a good look at who I was and what was the matter. And I did a searching and feeling fearless moral inventory. And I went over that with my sponsor. Then I found out that there was a lot more to it. I was not a nice guy who drank too much. I was, in the words of the immortal Wayne, a no-good, low-down, dirty son of a bitch. And it was true. I wish I were a nice guy who drank too much. I wasn't even anything like that. I thought of myself maybe that way, but I had a flaw in my thinking. The flaw in my thinking was I was alcoholic. And so 4 and 5 get us straight with ourselves. And 6 and 7 give us, or gave me, at least, a relationship with God. I came to an understanding of God. I came to terms with God in the third step. What that term meant to me. The mic is not on. The house mic is on. Pull both, would you? The house mic is now on. And I developed this relationship in 6 and 7. That's where I became ready to have God remove my defects of character. And that's when I talked to him. And I told you my own concept of God, which is mine, has very little to do with you. You're free to use it if you want. I have an understanding of God that he is the father that I never had, but the father that I became in my lifetime. I have an understanding of what that is. So I asked him. I asked him to help me be a good member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I helped him. I asked him to take away from me those things that actually cause my alcoholism. The defects of character are the primary cause of my alcoholism. That's a unique thought in Alcoholics Anonymous. No one else has that position. The medical profession still thinks in terms of genetics, and perhaps they're right. I'm not interested. But I know for my own purposes that Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life, and I don't argue with anything here. And the 12 and 12 tells me that the defects of character are the primary cause of my alcoholism, and that my defective relationships with other people were the cause of all of my troubles, including my alcoholism. And I didn't know and couldn't understand that I had defective relationships with other people until I wrote a list of all the people I had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Then I could see that I had a defective relationship with other people. And so I went around and did the best I could to make all the amends that were necessary for me. And I didn't wait to do it. I did it as soon as it was possible to do it. I did it with the guidance of my sponsor, and I did it the best I could. And of course, wonderful things have happened to me since I have been sober. Things that are actually impossible have come to pass in my life, solely and wholly and simply because I'm a member of this fellowship, a member of this program. And of all the promises that I talked about last week that are in our book, and around that little card I gave to you, every one of those has come into my life. I have known a new freedom and a new happiness. I don't regret the past, and I don't wish to shut the door on it. I want to remember my past My past is one of the most valuable assets I have, especially when I'm talking to someone who's new. I comprehend the word serenity. And most times, I know peace. It doesn't make any difference how far down the scale I have gone, because my experience will benefit others. That new person that comes in will benefit from my experiences. I do not wish away the past. I don't think I would change it. I really don't. Who knows? But I don't think I'd change it. Think if I had to start it all over again from the first day of my life, I don't think I'd change a great deal. Not to get here. And that feeling of uselessness that plagued me, it's a terrible feeling. You know that feeling of hopelessness and uselessness. What use could I have been? I was no use to myself. I was no use to the people around me. I was no use where I worked. And they had a very easy remedy for that. That went away. Didn't go away right away, but it went away. Sometimes I lose interest in selfish things. Sometimes. And gain interest in others. Very little of my self-seeking has slipped away. I'm still a self-seeker. But it is true in my case to say that my whole attitude and outlook upon life has changed. That's true. I no longer fear people or economic insecurity. I wish it said that economic insecurity left, but it says fear of economic insecurity. And I can handle situations now that used to baffle me. I got into a situation today that 21 years ago would have baffled me altogether. But it was very simple. I ignored it. And then the most important thing is I realize and I understand that God has done for me all of the things that I cannot do for myself. And that includes, in my case, actually the work that I now do and the fact that I live here. All of this came to me because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have developed, because of this program and because of those 9 steps, a sense of personal integrity, something which I never had before. I had very little personal integrity. But I have that now. If you ask me to do something for you and I tell you I'm going to do it, chances are very good that I will try to do it. Maybe I won't be able to succeed, but I will try. And that's an important thing, especially it's an important thing in the work that I do. Personal integrity is very important in the work that I do, and in the work that I teach, so that my students learn. If I tell them something's going to happen in my class, it happens. They may not like it, but it happens. And it happens only because of the values that I picked up here in steps 1 through 9. On the wall outside there, I see it every night when I come to the meeting here and get the coffee. It says that we came to get, and we stayed to give. And that pretty well expresses something that comes to us from the first 9 steps. And the 10th step, the one that we're talking tonight, says that the men and women who founded this program, after they had gone through steps 1 through 9, continued to take personal inventory, and when they were wrong, promptly admitted it. And this is a very important step, because it allows us to continue steps 1 through 9. It allowed me to continue to admit that I was powerless over alcohol, to continue to believe that there was a power here much greater than my own, to continue to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and to come to terms with God. And obviously to continue a personal inventory, an inventory of myself. And this allowed me to grow in understanding and in effectiveness. And when I came here, they had a little slogan I don't see very much anymore. It used to be on the walls, grow or go. And it's true, we cannot stop anything in this program. This is an ongoing and continuing program. There is no graduation, there is no ceremony. People, AA is very much like the mafia. If you leave, you die. And you hear it said, and it is true, that steps 11, 10, 11, and 12 are the maintenance steps. And what that means to me is that you continue to maintain your spiritual condition. Because at this stage in the reading in the book, they tell us that we have stopped fighting anyone or anything. The fight is all over. Life is no longer an adversarial proceeding. It was that way for me. It seemed all my life I had a fight going on with somebody or something. And I was charging up and down mountains and getting knocked on my ass day after day. And I was leading the charge to nowhere. And it's all over. It's all over. And you hear the expression in A, they say these people surrendered. I didn't surrender. I got captured. I was taken in here as like a prisoner and kept here, and it worked out. And all of this is, we are given a daily reprieve, contingent upon the maintenance of our spiritual condition. So continue to me means a lot more than simply continuing to look at oneself. It's continuing to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that means continuing to understand that the fight is all over for me. First of all, the fight with alcohol is all over. I didn't give up alcohol. I got rid of alcohol. It doesn't mean anything to me. It's absolutely meaningless to me now. It doesn't mean anything. I don't have any feeling at all when I see booze. I mean, I'm around booze all the time. And when that tray goes by and somebody else is drinking on it, it doesn't register. I mean, I used to salivate. When a martini went by, I wanted to heat. And if I were out of town and checked into a hotel room, that was my first act. Pick up the phone, I'd order up enough booze and enough ice to start urban renewal in a small Eskimo village. Because that was what was important. But now, it doesn't register with me. It just doesn't register. I don't have that feeling. And this program, as I say, is never over. And if I'm either going forward in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, or I'm going backwards in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, there is no such thing as standing still here. I cannot rest and say, now that I've been here a period of time, I'm no longer responsible to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I cannot do that. I did come here to get. I must stay here to give. That's part of the ongoing process of the 10th step, the continuing. And it is not an abstract thing. It is not an ideological thing. It is continuing to be a member of a group. Continuing to associate myself with a group of Alcoholics Anonymous. We have no members at large who float around and take what they can out of various meetings and put nothing back into them. They don't stay sober that way. An ongoing member of a group of Alcoholics Anonymous. And someone who is available to new people who come here and are available to them. When they come sailing through the door, as I did, full of rage and hate and anger. They're very disturbing to be around. I don't like them. I don't want anything to do with them. But my wife, my job, your ass, your wife, your job, you know. And it's like it's the same guy week after week with a different head. It's the same stuff, you know. Wait till I tell you what happened. Who gives a shit what happened, huh? But I always give good advice. I tell them, sit down, shut up, don't drink, go to the meetings, you'll be fine. You don't understand. I do understand. I understand. I understand. And I get to meet and to be with, I'm seldom at a meeting by myself. That is true. If you know me, I'm seldom by myself. I made arrangements tonight to make sure we're going tomorrow. And I'm usually with someone who's new. Either I'm driving him or he's driving me. I'm not a social worker. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's how we do it here. We do it one-on-one. And nobody knows that better than the members of this group. We do it one-on-one. And the basic message has never changed since 1935. And the message is very simple. If I can do it, you can do it. If you have trouble, I've had trouble. You drank a lot, I drank a lot. And this is a program for alcoholics. The name of the organization should give you a clue that that's what we're dealing with. This program does not work for people who are not alcoholics. Does not work for people who are not alcoholics. We have a pamphlet, Problems Other Than Alcohol, and they quote Bill Wilson. And he says that the one thing you cannot do is make a non-alcoholic into an alcoholic. It won't happen. And this program is for alcoholics. And it only works for alcoholics. And other people come here, and they come through like tourists. That's nice. They come in, they come out. And certainly doesn't hurt them. And I'm not against anybody who wants to come here, who has a desire to stop drinking. But the effectiveness of the program is for alcoholics. That's a given to me, a plain old given. I don't take it to be a cause. I don't get involved in controversy. I don't endorse causes or oppose any causes. But I know from my experience that this program works only for alcoholics. There are other programs. I hope they work. I don't know anything about them. I hope they work. I suppose they do. They exist. And I think that's fine. It just doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm a member here. And this is where I belong, and these are my people. And this is where my life was saved. These are the people that took me from there to here. As my friend John Harris says in California, you can't get here from there. There's no possible way for any of us to be sober. We ought not be sober. And that's the ongoing and continuing miracle. And that's why I continue to take a personal inventory. I do it on a daily basis. I do it every morning. It doesn't make any difference whether you do it in the morning, in the night, in the afternoon. It doesn't really make any difference if you do it in a daily way. That's just the way I do it. Step doesn't say how to do it. The step just says continue to take personal inventory. I find it most comfortable to do it in the morning. My sponsor gave me a routine when I came here. He told me I was to ask for help in the morning and say thank you at night. And that's how I began. I said help in the morning, and I said thank you at night. And then my prayer life expanded, and I said help me today, and thank you very much. You know? And then since then it's built up into a whole thing that I do. And there's no point in my going through it with you, it's just something I do. And part of that is to look and take a personal inventory. An inventory of myself, not of you. Not of you. You didn't do it to me. I don't have to take your inventory. I many times and oft times do in an informal way. I call it helping you when you're not here. And I love gossip and I love dirt and all the rest of it. But when I go through this routine in the morning, I'm worrying about what I did, not what you did. What I did the day before. And there's a connection here. There's a connection between continuing to take personal inventory and promptly admitting when you are wrong. Because unless I do this personal inventory on a daily basis, I'll never know when I'm wrong. And this step says admit when you're wrong, not admit if you're wrong. You understand? They know you're going to be wrong. The founders knew you're going to be wrong. They didn't give you a chance if you're wrong. Maybe I was wrong, maybe I was right. I used to say to him, listen to this situation. You think I was wrong? He said, don't tell me about it. You were wrong. I said, why was I wrong? He said, because it's worrying you. If it's worrying you, you're wrong. You understand, Stoopy? Yeah? Nice. I said, well, let me tell you about it anyway. He said, I'm not interested in bullshit and poetry, he said. You're going to reshape that problem, whatever it is, and the way you're going to give it to me, it's going to come out. No way you're going to be wrong. He said, if it bothers you, you did something wrong. So it's not the end of the world. It doesn't require you to take an ad in the newspaper. Just admit you're wrong. Admit it. I said, me? Wrong? Yeah. He said, you're wrong. I said, is this possible? He said, buy a gun, shoot yourself in the head. It's much easier. And it's not a big step. It isn't a mountain. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Admit it. Go ahead, admit it. Is that going to kill you? The alcoholic ego, boy. Murderous. It's murderous. We cannot be wrong. Those dirty bastards. Right? They, them. Let me go to adult children of alcoholic and tell them about my mommy. Yeah? Listen to what mommy did to me. I'm a victim. Oh, Seymour, that's terrible. She did that to you. And my father was worse. I'm sure of it. Tell me some more, you know. What crap. Absolute crap. You did it, Bunky. You did it. Nobody had a gun at my head, boy. I did it. And that's what this means, facing up to me. This is what it means, facing up to my responsibilities. I did it. So I did it. Maybe it's a long time ago. I still did it. But if I was wrong yesterday, I want to make sure I clear that up today. Because I don't want that crap rattling around in my head. I don't want a resentment. I don't want to feel that way. It does something to me physically when I feel that way. I have a temper. It's not much of a temper. Mine is more of the slow, ongoing burn. And my brother Billy, who died of alcoholism and never graduated high school, Billy was a very wise person. Billy said, don't get mad, get even. And I believe that. Now, when I do that slow burn and I feel it starting to go, I have to get rid of that. See, it's all right to be angry. They're not talking about that. When in the book, when they tell us resentments are fatal, they're not talking about getting angry. Getting angry is one thing. And we all get angry. Every once in a while at these meetings, I think I'm in a goddamn driver's ed class. You know, somebody who cut me off on 95. Who gives a shit about that? And they're telling you they're angry. That's all right. Of course you're angry. Somebody steps on your toe, you're angry. Anybody who has ever stood in the line in Publix understands anger. To drive on 95 is to be angry. I mean, anybody can drive Miami, can drive in Paris or Rome or anywhere. You know, this is a great place to drive. It's a very defensive kind of a place, and you can improve it by my insurance rates. But that's anger. That's different. That comes, boom, it's up, it's up, it's down, it's gone. To show you that I'm erudite, resentment from the Latin is re-sensio, to feel again. Sensio, to feel over again. And with me, when I get one of those, I go over it, and then I go over it, and then I go over it, and it's getting worse each time. And now I'm grinding my teeth, and I'm vowing vengeance and murder and mayhem and all the rest of it. What am I? I'm a short little man with glasses. What am I going to do? You know, waddle over to somebody and shake my belly at them. You know? But in my head, I'm John Wayne, and I got the guns out, and I'm blowing holes in people. And someone that I'm mad at is sleeping at home, curled up, relaxed. You know? Little does he know that his life is in serious jeopardy. You know? But that's what I don't want. I don't want to re-feel things. I don't want to go over it and over it and over it. So let me get rid of it. Let me get rid of it. Especially if I were wrong. And you know when you're wrong. Nobody has to tell you you're wrong. Maybe when you're brand new and you have to be educated a little. But after a while, you know, you go through steps through 1 through 9. I found I developed a certain degree of sensitivity. You know, there were things that I no longer could entertain. There were thoughts that I could no longer have. Those steps from 1 to 9 affect a very serious change in me, in how I think and how I act and what my values are and what my standards are. And there were things that I could have tolerated when I was drinking. God, I would have tolerated wiping out a whole nation when I was drinking. Yeah, it's all right. What the hell? But not when you're sober. Not if you're a member of this program. I would meet him at lunch and I would tell him something horrible I had done. Say, listen to this. I was in court today and I was in front of this guy and I said this and he said that and I knocked him on his arm around. What do you think of that? And he'd give me that horrible, horrible look that he has. And he'd say, we don't do that. And I say, wait a minute. And I tried it again. He said, I heard you. I know what you're talking about. We don't do that. And I learned after enough we don't do that's that there are things that I just don't do. Not if I'm a member here. Might have been all right for me to do it another time, but not now. And this first nine steps made that. So I don't want to have those resentments. And in order not to have those resentments, I try to do the best I can not to cause them and not to get them. Although it's much better to give them than to get them, I'll tell you that. And I don't want to have a head like that. I don't want to be confused. I don't want to be hateful. It's important for me not to do that. And they tell us in the book that if we have a problem and the problem is because we are wrong, it says the answer to all of our problems is more spiritual development. The answer to all my problems, it says, is more spiritual development. Goes on to say that if I am feeling that way, whenever we are greatly disturbed, it says, the fault is with us. And if I'm starting off my morning routine and I am greatly disturbed, not just upset or angry, greatly disturbed, I'm having a resentment, then best I look inward. I spent my lifetime before I got here looking outward. It was they, it was them, it was her. It sure was her. Primary resentment. And the odd thing about the nature, my nature at least, is that the closer I am to someone, the greater the resentment I get about them. Strangers don't bother me. People on highways don't bother me. What the hell do I care about them, as long as I'm physically safe? But, you know, someone close to you can really do it to you. And if I find I'm feeling this way, I must get rid of it. Because the book tells us if we drink, we surely die at one point, but it tells us over and over and over again that resentments are fatal. It says we must be rid of them or they will kill us. And I'm not suicidal. I may be Irish, but I'm not thick. I don't want to feel that way. I particularly don't want to feel that way on a daily basis. Now, one of the things I noticed is, and this is true, I think, of everyone who comes and puts this program into their lives or tries, and also puts their life into this program or tries, that my values are so different now. What's important to me now are things that I never gave thought to before. And what I used to think about all the time, I don't think about so much anymore. What was important to me for my whole lifetime was money and power and sex. And that's it. That was the whole deal. Money, power, sex. When I looked at my inventory, money, power, sex. That's changed somewhat. It's been alleviated a great deal. I'm still interested in those things. They have interest. They interest me. But I'm not obsessed as I used to be. I'm not obsessed with it. Maybe it's age. Maybe it's the fact that I'm more prosperous now, much more prosperous now than I was when first I came. Maybe it's because I found out that power really doesn't do it for me, and power was the thing that did it for me. I think money and sex with me were just forms of power. I still like sex. It's good stuff. Good stuff. The one in the spring is terrific. I'm sure that's age. I'm sure that's age. I knew about sex. I knew about sex when I was very young. I knew about sex in the neighborhood. But when I had sex in the neighborhood, I was anxious and apprehensive and usually alone. But things are different now. Things are different now. That's how we say it. We say that all the time. Things are different now. It seems that I see things differently now. The angle at which I view things is different. And what I think is important is different. It's changed. And I didn't do it. Believe me, I did not do it. Left to my own devices, I'd still be out there, or I'd be dead, and it's more likely that I'd be dead. So whatever is that change in me, it happened here, it's an internal thing. Just as though my alcoholism was an inside job, the recovery is an inside job. It is the great power of this program pouring into my life. Because I make myself available to this program. It's a very simple matter. The difference in my life now and then is this. The program of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the difference. I didn't get any taller since I got here. I didn't get any younger since I got here. But there have been a lot of internal changes, a rearrangement of my standards, a rearrangement of my values. And I've come into an understanding of God, which is the key for me to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the Big Book tells us in its discussion on the 10th step that we will develop a God consciousness. That in the front part, in the fore part of our minds, in the conscious part of our minds, there will be the idea of the God of our understanding. And that is, I can tell you, has happened to me. I am conscious of the fact that I am the recipient of this daily reprieve. And that the daily reprieve was given to me by our Father, your Father, and my Father. That it was given to me as a free gift, that I did not earn it, that it's nothing of my own doing, that without this power and this program I would be nothing. I was born with nothing. I came in here with nothing. Whatever I have now is a product of this program. So why should I not continue to admit that I'm powerless over alcohol? It was the first honest thing I ever did. Why wouldn't I believe that there is a power here, my God? How can I deny that I am standing every night in the middle of a miracle? You'd have to be crazy, wouldn't you, to deny that? And if you're new and you think this is maybe a little dramatic, it's not. Just look around. Look around. I came to believe here because of what I saw, not because of what I heard. So why shouldn't I continue? Why shouldn't I continue to look at myself and see what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong? It's all right to look at what you do right. It's all right to take satisfaction out of something you've done right. We're allowed to do that if we're honest about it. I try to be honest about it. I don't have any regret for the past. I have nothing but gratitude about the present. I'm so overly grateful to this program. So I don't regret the past, and I'm very grateful for the present. And I'm very hopeful for the future. I really have great hope for the future. I'm willing to continue to take personal inventory. I'm willing to become and remain a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I am willing and ready to do this. So why should I not enjoy this flow of the Spirit that comes in? When Bill wrote his letter to Dr. Carl Jung sometime after the program had been successful, he told Dr. Jung that Jung had been instrumental in beginning this program, and he told Dr. Jung in his letter, which is published in A Comes of Age, how successful we had been. And he thanked him for putting Roland on the path that brought Roland to Ebby, and Ebby to Bill, and Bill to Bob, and the rest of us to the North Miami group. And Jung wrote back to him, and Jung made a pun for him, and he said, "It is an odd thing," said Jung, "that the Latin word for alcohol, which is spiritus, spirits, is the same word for spirit that we talk about in Alcoholics Anonymous. The same Latin word for liquor expresses spiritual, the Latin term spiritus," and Jung made the play on those words. And it is that flow of spirit, I think, that comes into our lives. It doesn't turn us into angels. It doesn't make us perfect. And the book tells us that we are not spiritually perfect. We do not claim spiritual perfection. We claim spiritual progress. And my sponsor has instructed me, so I believe, that I can progress in the program if I don't drink and go to the meetings. And in order to maintain this wonderful thing that has happened to me, in order to maintain this very precious gift that I have been given and for which I express my gratitude, the way I do it is I continue to take personal inventory. And because I am so spiritually fit, when I am wrong, I rarely admit it. Thank you.